Oh, yo. Shit.
Ooh.
Yo.
Damn.
That's why you don't mess with me. Yo, I'm Jordan Johnson.
Mr. Johnson, why did you beat Kyle's ass?
Mr. Principal, I never touched Kyle. In fact, I've never seen this kid my entire life.
How do you presume he received a concussion, 2 broken ribs, a black eye, a broken nose, and a dislocated shoulder?
I mean, he must have fallen down the stairs or something.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, how do you explain this?
Yeah.
That's why you don't mess with me. I'm Jordan Johnson. But I mean, you got the wrong Jordan Johnson.
Then what happened to your knuckles there?
Shit, these ain't even my knuckles. Listen, I am not one to condone violence, but I'm not gonna lie. School fights are a major part of the high school experience. I mean, there's something about a good old school brawl that just boosts students' morale. Like, there is nothing that gets you through the rest of the day like some kid getting his ass beat in front of the entire school. And truthfully, it's just a community building experience because it gives everyone something to talk about. Yo, did you see the fight? Yeah, bro, Kyle got his shit rocked. Wait, are you guys talking about the fight? Yeah, bro. Man, Kyle got fucked up, dude. Overall, in school fights, everyone wins. Like, the fighter gets some respect, and the crowd gets some entertainment. It's a win-win. What about me? But tell me why, when a fight breaks out, the entire school will be recording, but not one person can get a good video. It's like when a fight breaks out, every motherfucker recording starts having severe hand spasms. I mean, as the person recording the fight, you literally have one job. To record the fight. Damn, I just missed it. What happened? Oh, well, lucky for you, I recorded the entire thing from start to finish on my brand new Samsung. Check it out. Did anyone else record the fight? Oh, shit, yeah, I did on my brand new iPhone 14 that actually records in 4K. Okay, bet.
Ooh,
damn.
Let's go, JJ.
That's why you don't mess with me. But bro, this is just a video of your face for 8 minutes straight. And watching some of these fights are funny as hell. Because some motherfuckers will come in swinging like KSI. Some motherfuckers are out here thinking they're Daniel LaRusso. And some motherfuckers should just not be fighting. Which is honestly the best part. Because where else could you catch a 6'5", 250-pound big body scrapping some 5'2 nerd? Like, the UFC would never let that shit slide. Plus, you get to watch it all for free. But me personally, I've never gotten into a school fight. But don't get me wrong, if someone wanted to catch these hands, I could hit them with the little knuckle sandwich, if you know what I mean. But truth be told, I could never lose a fight. Not because I know how to fight, but because for Bob, shit was on sight. And trust me, you don't fuck with Bob. Bob's got a better record than Floyd Mayweather. And I even heard one time he got into a little altercation with Mike Tyson. All I'ma say is, he dealt with him. But with that being said, we all know that one kid in school who was born to simply beat people's ass. Like, this dude's life purpose was to run people's fade. And of course, I had someone like this at my school. He was the type of dude who had nothing to lose, so he would instigate a fight wherever he could. We'll just call him Jordan. And honestly, he was holding a solid record. I mean, he was probably 12-0. But one day, Jordan picked on the wrong kid. Hey nerd, take off those stupid glasses. And Bob was a man of little words, so Jordan's buffoonery did not faze him. Hey nerd, I said take off those stupid glasses. Hey, stop ignoring me. And without saying a word, Bob just ended Jordan's whole career. And ever since that day, nobody messed with Bob. That's why you don't mess with me. Yo, I'm Jordan Johnson.
It was a snowy Christmas Eve. My brother and I were watching a Christmas movie bundled up beside the fireplace while drinking a cup of hot cocoa. Man, it can't get any better than this. Or can it? What could possibly enhance these festive activities to their maximum potential? Or should I say, Who can? So I called up the plug Randall and I'm like, yo, Randall. Yo, what's up, cuh? Let me get some of that Christmas tree OG.
Oh, shit.
Let me get some of that Mean Green Grinch.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some of that Rudolph Red Eyes. You know what I'm saying?
But the thing is, I can't deliver right now, cuh.
Why not?
Well, you see, cuh, me and the family are setting up milk and cookies for Santa Claus, cuh.
Aw, shit, Randall. I didn't know you were a family man like that.
Cuh, you already know it's Christmas Eve and shit, but if you really need some of that Mean Green Grinch, come by the crib and pick it up.
Say less. Randall sent his address and it was only a 15-minute drive. So we walk outside to go hop in the whip and I'm like, what? Where the fuck did the whip go?
It should be right here.
Oh, fuck. I mean, the entirety of the whip had been covered in snow. I mean, in these conditions, not only would it be impossible to drive, but many would say it wouldn't even be possible to walk to Randall's crib. However, on this specific Christmas Eve, there was nothing that was gonna get between us and that Christmas tree OG. So we throw on our snow attire and take our first step off the porch. And god damn, that shit was deeper than I thought. As we started our journey to Randall's house in waist-high snow, I was filled with determination. The type of determination that just dipped after 5 minutes of wet socks, possible hypothermia, and no end in sight.
Bro, should we just head back now? I mean, we still got like 30 more minutes to go to Randall's house. I don't think I could do it, bro.
Chains, just picture this. Mariah Carey is playing in the background. Your nose is filled with the sweet scent of freshly baked cookies while we get baked as fuck and drink as much eggnog as we want. Shit, you're right. We can't stop now. So we walked and walked in what seemed to be like endless amounts of snow. But then a brightness slowly revealed itself through the snowfall. A beautifully decorated house with reindeer on the roof and Santa Claus in the chimney. We had made it. We made it to the boy Randall's crib. Randall invites us inside and out of the Christmas spirit, the homie Randall seshes us up for the freesky. And at last, I got a taste of that Rudolph Red Eyes Kush, and in that moment, it was all worth it. So me, Randall, and my brother smoke up for a while, but then my brother realizes, oh shit, it's already 11 p.m. We gotta make it back for Christmas.
Damn, you're right.
Wait. Before you jits go, cut, take some for the road.
Yo, thank you, bro.
So we begin our journey back home, except this time something was different. We were zooted as fuck. And if you've ever been in the cold while being more baked than some gingerbread, you would know that shit is ass. And as my brother and I walked through the snowfall continued to get worse and worse. And after 30 minutes of walking back home while being higher than Santa's sleigh, my legs just folded, bro.
Oh shit, Chains, are you good?
Bro, it's too far. You're gonna have to make it back without me.
Bro, shut up. You're fine. You're just high as fuck.
Oh, Ni-chan.
Bro, get your bitch ass up.
Let me go. You need to make it back before Christmas starts.
Yo, just get up, bro. Stop playing around. Oh my fucking god. And then I fucking died. Maybe that Mean Green Grinch was gonna be what stole my Christmas after all. Man, you're not fucking dead. Until my brother decks my ass harder than the boughs of holly. Bro quite literally slapped me back to reality. And that was all I needed to keep going. But we only had 5 minutes to make it back to the house before Christmas. So we use everything we have left. We see the red and green glowing lights in the distance getting closer and closer and... And by a Christmas miracle, at last we could sit down on the couch, bundled up next to the fireplace, watching a holiday movie, drinking some hot cocoa, all while zooted off that Christmas tree OG.
Everyone has encountered countless NPCs during their lives. Like, you know, the people that just spawned in. They didn't have any character development or anything. And to be honest, when you leave their vicinity, they probably just despawn. If you still have no clue what an NPC is, it's a non-playable character. They're like the type of people you could sock in the face and they'd say some NPC ass line like, and I know at least some NPCs have to exist. Cause let's be real, there is no way all 7 billion people on this planet have whole lives from start to finish. That just doesn't add up. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever noticed this, but NPCs all have a spot they go to just do NPC things, bro. For example, if you go to Walmart, that's their natural habitat. You're bound to see at least 15 NPCs at Walmart. And usually the NPCs are trying to avoid eye contact. But if you've ever tried interacting with them, you'll know they always have the most predictable and neutral responses possible. Like, whoever programmed them should have spiced it up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? They could have made them tell jokes or something, I don't know. But anyways, I used to work at a summer camp where you teach little kids to ride bikes. And through this experience, I realized that pretty much all young kids are NPCs. And I guess it's just because they haven't been alive long enough to actually go through the character development. But working at this summer camp made me realize there's no way these kids have a thought process. Hey buddy, what's wrong?
I dropped my rock.
Here you go. But I guess little kids still aren't even at the stage of having full consciousness. And honestly, they kind of have that caveman mindset.
Eat something.
But I mean, you can't really blame them because they've only been alive for a few years. But still, as a non-NPC, I'd like to believe I was never participating in these NPC activities as a kid. I refuse to believe I was out here spending my time doing this. But yeah, man, I really just want to know if there's any NPCs watching this right now. If there is, just fess up, bro. Because I don't even know if NPCs be on YouTube, or if they just like despawn before they can do that. But regardless, if you're an NPC or not, thank you for watching this video. Subscribe.
Eating magic brownies. If you've ever ingested one of these exquisite delicacies, you would know there are some clear distinctions between eating magic brownies and puffing magic clouds. First off, magic brownies are some dangerous shit, but in like a sneaky ass way. Kinda like how if I knew nothing about raccoons and I saw one chilling on the road, I would be like, aw, that's a cute ass raccoon. I'm gonna go help it across the road and make sure it's safe. Hey little guy.
God damn, fuck.
You see, that's dangerous. Which is exactly like when you see an innocent brownie chilling on the counter, waiting to be eaten. And you're like, shit, that brownie's been chilling there for a little bit too long. I'ma just clean it up, you know what I'm saying? And shit, the next thing you know, you're laying face down on the floor, four bags of Doritos deep while watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. not that that happened to me or something, like, you know. Anyways, secondly, the brownies are made to catch you lacking. I mean, if you've tried edibles, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll have a good piece, like enough to get you baked, but that shit just doesn't hit. Bro, I really don't feel anything. You probably just didn't have enough. Alright then, let me have some more. Yeah, I got you. They'll have you eating three brownies at a time, like, fuck, bro, I've eaten three goddamn brownies and I don't feel shit. Like, do they even work? Yes, they do, bro. Look at Eric. That motherfucker only had half. What the fuck? He only had half a brownie? I've eaten three. Them things can even take up to a few hours to hit. They'll leave you with the good old, damn, bro. These edibles ain't shit. These bad boys will have you seeing rainbows. They'll have you lagging in real life. I mean, shit, if you have enough, they'll have you out here talking to Pop Smoke. And the thing is, the magic clouds will introduce themselves to you before they hit. But the fucking magic brownies be coming out of nowhere on some Randy Orton shit, leaving a motherfucker RKO'd out of nowhere. And I'm telling you, there's something about edibles that be changing your settings. Like, that bitch lowers your FPS, changes your render distance, and maxes out your sensitivity. I mean, one time I gobbled down a brownie,
And when I touched a blanket, I felt every bristle, every microfiber, and every single atom in each microfiber. I mean, it was really a blessing and a curse. Because every time my shirt would wrinkle, I would take 1 HP. But at the same time, a bowl of ice cream had me busting, bro. Because magic is some powerful shit. Like one time a good friend of mine got fooled by the good old, "These edibles ain't shit. Let me pop some more." And when those edibles hit, they changed every setting this man had. Yo, Robert, you okay? How you doing, bro?
¿Quién es Roberto? ¿Quién verga eres tú? ¿Y quién eres tú? ¿Dónde estoy?
Hold up. Does Robert know Spanish? No, bruh. That motherfucker only knows English. Shit, Robert ended up legally changing his name to Javier. And that motherfucker moved to Barcelona. He just never came back. So like I said, those magic brownies are powerful. And you can do with them as you please. But remember, with great power comes great responsibility. Yo, when you think about it, every light switch is also a dark switch. Light switch, dark switch. Light switch, dark switch. Okay, class, sound it out with me.
Ball. Ball.
When you really think about it, we learn to read, and then we read to learn.
Teacher. Teacher, yeah, I think change is high.
What the fuck? This is kindergarten. Damn, any staircase can be a staircase to heaven if you're not careful enough.
Baby, I've spent the best 4 years of my life with you, and I can't imagine my life without you. You're a one in a million, so will you marry me?
So one in a million, huh? That means there's 8,017 people just like you. How does that make you feel? Yo, if you cut your leg off, would it hurt?
Of course it's gonna hurt, bro. What's?
Think about it. Where would it hurt?
Your leg.
Oh,
cause you cut your leg off.
Yo, what happens if you push down the gas and the brakes at the same time?
Shit, let's find out.
Oh shit, it takes a screenshot. Damn, my eyes are dry as shit. Just close them for a minute. Damn, bro, you never actually close your eyes. You just look at the inside of your eyelids.
Damn. Yo.
Can anyone answer 547 to the power of 3? Yes, Chains.
Yo, did you know every single odd number has an E in it?
Damn. Damn.
Chains, are you high again?
No.
Wait a minute, bruh. Since you were born deaf, what language do you think in? Oh shit, you right.
Damn, I just realized squirrels' cheeks are also their nut sacks. You know what I'm saying?
That's kind of like your mom.
What?
The way she had these nuts all up in her mouth.
Bro, if everyone in the world all blinked at the same time, nobody would know.
Oh shit. That's facts.
Oh, I just blinked. Did you?
Nah.
Oh, I just blinked. Did you?
Nah.
Wait, what about just now? Yo, which of these buildings do you think has the most stories?
Oh, it's gotta be that one, bro. That's massive.
Nah, this one's even taller.
Oh, it's this one for sure.
No, it's this one.
No, that shit's library? Tiny.
Think about it. How are you supposed to get clothes?
What are you talking about, bruh?
Okay, imagine you had no clothes, right? How are you supposed to get some clothes?
You go to the store and purchase that shit.
Bro, they're not about to let you buy some clothes while your meat's hanging out.
Nah, you just cop some clothes real fast. It's simple.
Bruh, a young kid walks by and it's wrapped.
So you guys both have the power to read minds?
Yep,
yes,
that's
sir.
Right. Then if you both read each other's minds, whose mind are you reading?
Oh, I don't know. We could try.
All right, yeah, sure.
That was you for sure, dude.
Damn, bro. When you think about it, the hospital is the only building you leave without entering. Damn. And people are having the worst day of their life, the best day of their life, the last day of their life, and the first day of their life, all in one building.
Damn.
Bro, I'm kind of scared down here. What? Why? Because I'm scared of sharks finna eat my ass. Well, when you think about it, there's more people eating sharks in the world than sharks eating people. Damn. That's actually really crazy to think about. Fuck, yo, every single day, there's some random motherfucker out there who took the biggest shit for that day. Yeah, yeah, he's in this room. Bro, it's literally just you and me in the room.
Yo, this Taco Bell is bussin'.
So he incorrectly assumed his position. You spelled that incorrectly.
Spelled what incorrectly?
Incorrectly.
Yeah, yeah, but what's incorrect?
Incorrectly.
Wait, what?
Wait, guys. When you really think about it, the only time incorrectly isn't spelled incorrectly is when it's spelled incorrectly.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. You know, the number of people older than you never increases. It only gets smaller and smaller. Damn.
What?
It just got smaller.
Yo, pizza's here.
Shit, I got the munchies. I'm about to fuck this shit up. Wait, I ordered a mushroom pizza. Why'd they give us cheese? Hey, any pizza can be a mushroom pizza if you're patient enough. Damn, I guess you're right. At last. Damn, you know what I just realized?
What?
A pregnant woman swimming is pretty much a submarine.
Are you just always this high, bruh?
Yo, did you boys know your last name comes from what your ancestor used to do back in the day? Oh shit, mine's Baker. Yo, mine's Carpenter. Oh, mine's Smith for blacksmith. Well, what's yours, Johnny?
It's Donald.
Well, wait a minute. Your last name isn't Donald. It's hey, Dickinson.
Yo, guys, chill. Hey, I can explain. Pause. I can explain.
Your alarm is really your theme song because it plays at the start of every episode.
Why the fuck are you in my house?
Yo, is Chain still mad over that chair?
Yeah, well, what does this dude have against chairs?
Why is it a chair? Yo, why is there sidewalks in the movie Cars if there's no humans? This dude won't shut up. Like, just watch the fucking movie, bruh. Damn, think about this. When a child is an asshole, the child gets a whooping. But when the parents are an asshole, the child gets another whooping. Shit, tell me about it, bruh. Fuck. Bro, you've checked the fridge 15 times already. No good food's finna magically appear. Damn. Now that I think about it, we don't keep checking the fridge for new food, but rather we keep checking to see if our standards have dropped low enough to eat the shit that's already in the fridge.
So we got Mercury, Venus, and then here's Earth.
Yeah, Chains, what do you want? If Earth is the third planet from the sun, does that make every country a third world country?
You're high again. Just get the fuck out of my class.
And look at these sheep. Sheep. You know how one of your teeth is called a tooth?
Yeah.
And one geese is called a goose.
Okay.
Then why isn't one sheep called a shoop?
All right, Chains, a shoop. I can't keep doing
Shoopity
this.
Doop.
We have to break
sheep
up.
Sheep shoop. You know what I've been thinking?
Yeah, what's up?
Teenagers be whipping that shit like they're always running out of time. But old motherfuckers be driving like they got all the time in the world.
Like, look at this geezer.
Poor guy's practically decaying behind the wheel. But he's taking his time like he's got any time to spare. If I stab this cereal box, does that make me a cereal killer? That one was straight ass.
You gotta work on that
shit.
I'm
gonna work on that one. Yo, if you weigh 99 pounds and you eat a 1 pound burrito, does that make you 1% burrito?
Yo, that's crazy, because I literally just did that last night.
You guys wouldn't believe this, but your blood work came back and it says you're 1% burrito.
Yo.
Yo, picture this. Imagine if Ed Sheeran was working at a bread place, right? Would that make him the gingerbread man?
Your eye is shit.
Alright, bro, I'm a dip.
Nah, don't leave me alone in this forest, bro.
Hey, when you really think about it, you're not scared to be alone in this forest. You're scared you're not alone in the forest. You feel me?
Yo, that's actually so true.
What? Whoa. Bro, you know what? Low key, if you're dead broke, robbing a bank isn't even a bad idea. Bro, there's no way some hobo's about to pull off a bank heist. Nah, but just think about it. Whether you successfully rob the bank or not, either way, you get over 10 years of bills you don't gotta worry about. Alright, fuck it. You got the strap?
Yup.
Yo, throw on your seatbelt really quick.
Nah.
What? Why not?
Well, you see, it increases my risk of dying from cancer.
What are you talking about, bro? That shit makes no sense.
Just let that sink in.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Yo, what's up?
But still, that shit makes no sense.
No, but actually think about it.
Oh.
Hey, bro, you wanna hit?
Nah, I don't smoke. I'm scared that I'll get all paranoid and shit.
Hey, man, if you're paranoid that you're gonna get paranoid, you're having the side effect without even smoking.
It's your fault.
When you link a girl and you both bring a friend, man, what could possibly be better than a two-man mission?
Three-man mission.
When you go on a three-man mission, you need to be able to trust those homies with your life, bro. Cause I don't know why, but 100% of the time you go on a three-man mission, somebody's gotta take one for the team, bro. Like, it's just inevitable. And if your homie isn't willing to eat the shit sandwich in order to see the gang succeed, the entirety of the gang is eating the shit sandwich, bro. And on top of that, you need your homies to have your back when you crack a shitty-ass joke. Cause if you're in a group of six people and not a soul laughs,
yeah, nah, you're done, bruh. Like, you're cooked, you're sauteed, bruh. Like, pack it up, it's over with. Like,
yo, guys, what do you get when you mix human DNA with goat DNA?
Oh my god, what do you get? Wait, no, let me guess. No, I don't know. What do you get?
Kicked out the petting zoo.
Fuck, I sold.
Actually, that's a really good joke.
Facts.
Wait, it was?
And lucky for me, I got the two most perfect dudes for the job. Bob and Billy, so you know we were no strangers to the game. Like, we had 99 chemistry, bro. We were like Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman, setting up these plays, passing, alley-ooping, and dunking that shit. In these streets, they called us the real big three. And one day, the real big three hopped on a plane to Mexico. And this story takes place way back. Like a month ago. And this story doesn't just contain one three-man. Not two three-mans, but three different three-man missions. And with these three different chances, will me, Bob, and Billy be able to find love in Mexico? Or will we get set up and kidnapped by the cartel? Find out coming up on this episode of Billy, Bob, and Chains.
Wait a minute.
So, boom! We get to Mexico and we're staying at an Airbnb, so we start with all the essentials. We unpack, get some food, check out the rooms, download Tinder, play some music, get settled in, you know, shit like that. And some of you may be thinking, damn, Chains, Tinder? Shit, I didn't know you were down bad like that.
And let me just clear this up, alright? I'm not, okay?
I'm down horrendous. And you really don't know me at all if you thought I was gonna leave Mexico without running a three-man with the homies. So I'm just doing what I gotta do. Don't hate the player, hate the game. So we got there on a Monday, and for the first few days, we're exploring, we're trying some food, going to the beaches. It's great, you know, a bunch of nice and relaxing shit. But at night, it was grind time, bro. I was swiping more than a girl with daddy's money, and I was shooting more shots than Drizzy Drake at his local middle school. So by the time Thursday rolled around, I secured the first
three-man mission
of the trip. And when I told the boys, they were hyped as fuck. I mean, Bob was so excited, dude almost made a facial expression. So before we went out, we had to get teed up. And lucky for us, we spent half our food budget on a few bottles of vodka. So we're absolutely down in that shit until our Uber pulls up. We hop in the Uber and get dropped off by some bars where we plan to meet the girls. Now keep in mind, at this point, all I've seen of this girl is pictures. And you know there's a brutal catfishing epidemic going on. So let's just say it's completely in the realm of possibility that I set up a link with three big buff Mexican dudes. And Lord knows I'm crossing my fingers. like hopefully there's like no big buff Mexican. I don't want the big buff Mexican dude. So my heart dropped to my balls when I got a tap on my shoulder and turned around to see a not so buff Mexican dude with another not so buff Mexican dude with the three girls.
Oh, no, don't worry. These are just my friends, by the way. Hey.
Hi. Oh,
that
shit.
Makes
sense. Okay. Yeah, what's up?
And not only was I relieved that she wasn't a jack dude, but she was fine, nice, and she spoke English.
Same with Bob's girl and Billy. Yeah, nah, he had to take one for the team for sure.
Hey, bro, I'm sorry, but this is just the way the cookie crumbled.
Shit, bro, can we get another cookie?
It's too late, bro, it's already crumbled.
And Billy took that shit like a champ, bro.
So all eight of us go to a bar and we're just talking, getting to know each other and shit. And I notice Billy just keeps the tequila shots coming.
I mean, we were only 10 minutes into the conversation, but this dude is 10 shots deep at this point.
And all of a sudden, this dude starts laying down that Google Translate riz and he's dropping hard emojis and shit, and I'm like, damn, respect. I mean, he's taking this extremely well. And after about 30 minutes of talking to this girl, I look over at Billy and I start to see some wild ass emojis being thrown around. Like,
oh shit, Bob. Yo, I think Billy forgot he's the one taking one for the team.
So me and Bob cut him off of the tequila, and then my girl is like,
hey, do you guys want to come over to our place?
Yeah,
hell yeah!
Is he alright?
Yeah, he's fine. So we hop in their whip and go to their crib. And at this point, it's getting kinda late. So we're just chilling, listening to music and things of that nature. When me and Bob realize Billy and his girl are nowhere to be seen. So I turn to Bob and I'm like,
yo, should we stop him?
Damn, bro, you're right. We can't let him do that shit. And listen, bro, I've never been the type of dude to cock block, but if it's the homie who's about to interlock with the chalk chick at this o'clock, I'll walk up, knock and lock, and block that cock if I have to. And so I did just that. I walked up, knocked, of course, unlocked the door, and respectfully, I blocked that cock.
Yo, what are you doing?
I'm taking one for the team, remember?
Nah, I think the team's doing just fine,
but
bro.
But you know me, I was gonna do it for the team, like for
nah,
the-
Nah, I don't think the team needs this one, gang.
No, remember, I'm supposed to be, like, taking it for the team, like, this is for the-
Yeah, you're right.
Let's just go home, Billy.
No, wait. Well, how are we gonna get home? We're in Mexico.
Man, shut the-
So we said our goodbyes, got in the Uber, and man, I felt like a basketball coach whose son just lost to a special needs team, bro.
Hey, listen, bro. I had a lot of tequila tonight. I'm sorry. I just
Billy,
like...
Billy, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Damn, bro.
And the next morning we woke up and I'm not gonna lie, we felt it a little bit, especially Billy. Billy was in physical and mental agony.
But we have a secret method to get rid of any hangover instantly. It's called vodka.
So we're practically eating this bottle for breakfast, and once everyone was healed up, we hit the beach and had a fantastic day. It was stupendous, really. And once the sun started to set, we got some food and man, it was gas, bro. I had the best nachos of my life. And as I'm consuming this orgasmic meal, I get a little notification on my phone from a new girl.
Yo, you got any friends?
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, hell yup.
Then she's like,
I'm going out with some friends tonight. You guys should come.
And I'm like, hell yup. And just like that, we secured our second
three-man mission.
Absolutely house that fucking meal, go back to the crib, get ready, tee up, you know the drill. We hop in the Uber and get dropped off in the same area where the clubs and bars are to meet these girls. And when we get there, Bob and Billy are both praying they don't gotta take one for the team this time. And I'm there just chilling like,
yo, this is why I set up the three mans, cause then I never have to take one for the
chains. Is that you?
Oh, shit. Who's asking?
It's me, Sarah.
Oh, no way. Really?
Like really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. You must be looking for the other chains. No, don't worry. This happens all the time.
No. Chains for real. Yeah, look at this. This is you.
Oh, fuck. Would you look at that?
I guess it is me.
Fuck. Like, shit. I don't know how she did it, but she got my ass, bro. I got catfished nicely. But I guess it was just my turn to take one for the team. And I look up at who she brought, and she pulled up with 4 straight dimes for the homies to choose from. Like, bro, why me? So we're walking, and the girl I'm temporarily associated with is like,
hey, let's go to the club.
Yeah, let's go. So we go to this club, 8 people deep, and the girls are like,
yeah, let's buy a bottle.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's your money?
¿Qué? No entiendo.
Wait, I could have swore you spoke English.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fluent, for sure, yeah.
You said you wanted a bottle, right?
Yes, please.
Yeah, you got bottle money?
Ah, no entiendo, no hablo inglés.
And now I'm starting to get the vibe that whole time, these girls just wanted a free bottle. And as soon as I start catching on, she starts upping her game, like,
oh my god, you're so strong, look at these muscles.
So I go to give Billy one of those side eyes, and when I look over, these motherfuckers are completely lost. In the sauce.
Yeah, I'm buying a bottle. Everyone, bottles on me.
So Billy pulls me aside, like, yo, we gotta split a bottle, bruh.
Nah, I'm really not fucking with this girl.
Come on, bruh, please. I need it, bruh. Just take one for the team. Come on, take one for the team.
All right, bruh, I'll split it with you.
Thank you, bro.
I got you.
So are you guys getting a bottle?
Yeah. We're getting a bottle.
Oh my god, you're so strong and you're a baller.
Yeah.
Baller? The fuck?
I don't know, bruh. She's weird as hell.
Yo, can I get a bottle for this table?
Yeah, for sure. What do you want?
Listen, bruh. Just give me the cheapest shit you got.
Oh, I feel you, bruh. Times are tough, you know? That'll be 1,100.
Goddamn. That's a lot of pesos, bruh.
Pesos?
Yeah, like 1,100. That's a lot of pesos.
Nah, amigo, that's USD.
Plus $500 to walk it to you with the Chicago fee of $350, and for the tip, it'll just cost you your left testicle.
No, that's my favorite nut, bruh.
Yo, Billy, we don't got it like that.
Yeah, hell nah. Let's just not get it, bruh. At least these girls are already fucking with us without it, though, right?
Yeah, facts. Yo, we're not gonna get the bottle.
Oh, why not?
You can just
buy it. It's not that big a deal.
Nah. It's cause we, we don't got enough money.
They fucking dipped, bro.
Quick as hell, too. They all just evacuated, bruh.
No, bruh. That was my wifey.
And I'm just over here thinking, damn, I'm just glad I didn't have to see that shit through, bruh.
But Billy, yeah, he was really going through it.
Until he got distracted by some other random girls in the club. So at this point, all 3 of us are on the dance floor, absolutely fucking that shit up, when I start getting spammed on my phone. So I go to check who it is, and it's the gold digger girl, like,
hey, we all went to the club right beside it, but we can all split this bottle. It'll be $86 per person, plus tip, that'll be $95 each.
And she's literally telling me the whole price breakdown of this bottle. She pretty much just sent my ass an invoice. And I'm like, hell nah, I don't care if that shit would have been free. There is no way I'm ever gonna see this girl ever again. And then I get a tap on my shoulder, and it's 3 big buff Mexican dudes. I'm just playing. It was the gold digger girl, but this time I probably would have preferred the buff dudes, because this girl grabs me by the arm, pulls me outside with all her homies, and starts breaking down the price again.
Okay, the bottle is $700, but you just gotta pay $95 each, okay?
Yeah, we're in. Let's do it.
No, what? Billy, chill.
So I call an emergency meeting with the homies, and we huddle up, and I'm like, listen, you guys can go with them if you want, but there's no way I'm going and paying for this girl's bottle. Fuck that, bro. You're right. We could find something better for sure. So we jump ship. Absolutely abort mission.
Yo, what's that over there?
I'm not stupid. I'm not falling for that shit.
Nah, is that Jeff Bezos handing out free bottles to catfishes?
Wait, what? Where? So we evacuate and start roaming the streets when I get a tap on my shoulder. I take a deep breath. Turn around, and it's the girls from the OG3, man. Like,
oh my god, Chains, what are the chances?
Yo, what's up? And me and Bob are hyped, but Billy's over here having traumatic anime flashbacks and shit.
You guys should come with us. We know the best spot here.
Oh shit,
yeah.
Bet.
fuck. So they take us to this club bar thing, and it's fucking bumping, but as soon as we get inside, Billy disappears, bro. And I don't even blame him. He's staying as far away from this girl as possible, not because he's scared of what she's gonna do, but because deep down, he's scared of what he might do. But regardless, me and Bob continue to respectfully obliterate the dance floor for about an hour straight, and then the girls are like, hey, it's getting kinda late, so we're gonna head out now.
I bet.
Wait.
Yeah!
And once me and Bob had officially decimated the dance floor beyond repair, we realized there's an upstairs that leads to a balcony. So of course me and Bob go to explore that shit. And as we walk out onto the balcony, we see Billy with this one girl who looks our age, who happens to have a friend who also looks our age. And once again, Billy is absolutely laying down that Google Translate riz, but this time he's really cooking. So me and Bob start talking to her friend named Mia. I get her Instagram, and then Billy's like, all right, let's go. The Uber's here.
Uber? Uber to where?
Oh, my bad. I forgot to tell you, but Camilla and me are coming back to the B&B.
What the fuck?
Don't you think we gotta discuss shit like that?
Nah.
Bro, what?
Alright, Uber's here, let's go.
So Billy and the girls go to the Uber, but me and Bob stay back to discuss what the actual fuck is going on right now.
Yo, this is a bad idea, right?
But we can't let them do this shit alone. Shit, Bob. Do we even have a choice? So we leave the bar and start walking to the Uber when this girl stops me and she's like, hi, what's your name?
Oh, I'm Chains. What's your name?
Oh, my name's Sophia.
And Sophia's trying to make some small talk and shit like that, but Billy's already waiting in the Uber, so I'm like,
well, it was nice to meet you, but I gotta go.
Oh, well, let me get your Instagram real quick. So I give her my phone, she follows herself, and then gives me my phone back. And when I lay my eyes on the screen, I realize we have a mutual, and I'm just surprised because we're in Mexico, bruh. So I go to check who it is, and it's Mia. And at this moment, everything started piecing itself together to make our third
three-man mission.
So I'm like,
yo, you know Mia?
Oh, Mia? That's like my best friend. Why?
Word? You mean this Mia?
Oh my god, Mia!
So Sophia hops in the whip and we're all just talking, and then Mia says,
yeah, so like, we don't have work tomorrow.
Oh shit, do you guys work together?
Yeah, we do.
Damn, what do you guys do?
Oh, you know, we dance.
Where do you guys dance?
Like in the club?
Oh shit. Yeah, that's what's up. Yo, how old are you guys, by the way?
21.
24.
25.
Damn! Sorry. Do you guys happen to have any, kids by chance?
Of course, I have a baby boy.
One of them is a year old, I also have two daughters.
Oh, fuck. Yo, Bob, you think it's too late to, abort mission?
And I don't know how, but none of that information seemed to faze Billy in the slightest, because now he's out here making out with this girl like,
fuck them kids, bro.
And the whole car ride, I'm just thinking,
what the fuck is going on, bro?
But soon enough, we arrive. We all hop out of the whip, go to our B&B, put in the code for the lockbox, get the key, unlock the door, and go inside. Now for context, the crib had two couches and a master bedroom. And that bedroom is where I used to sleep, and I say used to because as soon as we got to the B&B, Billy and Camila went straight to my room and start playing patty cake. Loud as hell too, and so all of us are just sitting on the couch like,
hola, ¿cómo estás? Fuck.
And this motherfucker Billy was just making up for every single time he had to take one for the team. And after the longest 20 minutes of my life, Billy walks out of the room smiling from ear to ear like,
what? Well, why is everyone looking at me? Shit, you guys could hear that?
Then Billy cops the girls an Uber, they dip, and I'm looking at Billy like,
bro. What the actual fuck just happened?
Hey man, listen. It's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Nah, bro, you are crazy.
And at this point, it was probably 4 a.m. or something. So I go to my room to look at where I'm supposed to sleep. And there's a bunch of lubed up rappers on my bed. And I'm not talking Diddy. So needless to say, after a long night, I slept on the couch. And we all woke up rotten, bro. So rotten, even the vodka method wouldn't work. So we decided if anything could make us feel better, it would be a plate of the world's best nachos. So we get ready, leave the crib, and then Billy's like, like,
yo, who's got the key?
Shit, I don't got it.
Bob, you got it?
I mean, it's probably on the counter where we always put it, right?
Yeah, facts.
We check the counter, it's not there. We check the tables, not there. We check the couches, bedroom, kitchen, nowhere to be seen. So we scavenged the entirety of the Airbnb. We even looked through every single bag of garbage and it was nowhere.
Bro, did those girls finesse our key?
Nah. Camilla wouldn't do some shit like that.
She would, bro.
Yeah,
you don't even know
bro,
her.
No,
this
she
is
wouldn't.
Your
how
fault.
Would you know
brought
her
you
to
don't
the
know
crib.
Her, bro.
She
I know her better
club.
Than you know
right,
her.
Chill. Mia texted me. She said, let's go to the pool today.
Oh, shit. Camilla texted me the same thing.
Damn.
And in my head, I'm thinking about it, and I'm putting everything together.
Shit.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think so.
These girls stole the key and invited us to the pool so the crib would be empty so they could get three big buff Mexican dudes to pull up and loot the crib.
Fuck, I knew it.
Damn, she got my ass, bruh.
So hell no, we didn't go to the pool with them, and for the next few days, we were on high alert. We would only leave the crib in pairs, and one dude would stay back, strapped up with kitchen knives, ready to take on three big buff Mexican dudes.
Pause.
Until it was Monday, the night before our flight home. So we're packing everything, getting ready to go home, and I hear Billy shout, Chains?
Yo, what's up?
Yo, guess what I got, bruh?
Chlamydia?
No.
Gonorrhea?
What? No.
Herpes?
No, it's in my suitcase.
Your suitcase got herpes?
No, it's the key.
How the fuck?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Bro, in life, there's so many things you can cheat on. Like, you can cheat on your diet, you can cheat on your girlfriend, you can cheat on your barber, you can cheat on your girlfriend with your barber. Shit, you can even cheat on your taxes. So compared to everything else, cheating on a little math test is not that bad. Like, compared to your taxes, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, shit.
Hey, we've all cheated on our barber, but you cannot cheat on this math test.
Oh, shit.
Damn, bro. I know we've all cheated on our girl, but you cheated on me, dog.
Oh, shit.
Babe, I know we cheated on our taxes, but you cheated on me?
Oh, shit.
Listen, in our entire lifespan, we've all cheated on something. Whether it's a game of Uno, your girlfriend, or your other girlfriend, it's usually not worth it, because congratulations, bro, you won the game of Uno, but now you have to look yourself in the mirror knowing you're a cheater and a liar that has three Uno cards up his ass. But when it comes to school tests, cheating is 100% worth it, bro. And I'm not condoning cheating at all, but let's just think about this logically. Like, why are we at school in the first place? We're at school to learn things and skills that we can use in real life. Now, are we really using trigonometry in real life? Well, effectively, this depends on what career.
Hell nah, bro. It was a rhetorical question. We are not using trigonometry.
But you know what we will use? Creative thinking, communication, social awareness, logic and reasoning, and most definitely our fucking phones. All five of which are strongly developed through the act of cheating on a school test. And on top of becoming a better human, better grades, it's the ultimate win-win. Your teacher feels like they did a good job teaching, your parents think they didn't raise a dumbass, and if you're good enough at cheating, you might just fuck around and get into Harvard. But once again, I am not condoning cheating, you know, just throwing that out there, you know, But yeah, as I was saying, you shouldn't cheat, right? Like, it's bad. Cheating is not good, but you do know what they say. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Facts!
Yeah. Wait, no. What? So if cheating in school is so valid, why doesn't everyone do it? And that's because if you get caught, let me tell you, bro. This story takes place in grade 9 when me, Bob, and Billy were some straight freshmen, bro. And coming into high school, you get your shit absolutely clapped by double the workload. But lucky for me, Bob and Billy were both in my math class, which meant we had triple the studying power. But we also had triple the fucking around power, and we used that shit to its maximum capacity, bro. But you know what they say, the more you fuck around, the more you find out. And when we got our first test back, shit, we found out. We found out we're a bunch of dumbasses who are about to fail grade 9 math, and we couldn't let that shit happen. So for the next test, we studied extremely hard. off George's math test during the test. I mean, we were cheating with maximum efficiency. Like, we had a whole assembly line where Bob would look at George's test, throw up the number, and Billy would pass it along. And all of a sudden, our grades are making the meanest comeback Mr. Mathinson had ever seen. I mean, life was great. We went to school, cheated, played some Fortnite, succeeded, browsing history, deleted, and then repeated. I mean, we were just living life with no worries until...
the polynomials test.
I walked into this test thinking, I know what a polygon is, I should be chilling. And when the teacher handed out the test, I was bewildered to see all these fucking letters on my test. Look, like, is this math class or English, bruh? Yeah, I think I got the wrong sheet.
Huh? No, yeah, no, that's the right test.
Well, what's the deal with this?
I mean, that's just polynomials.
Dog, I can name every single polygon, but who the fuck wrote Elon Musk's son name on my goddamn math question?
Yeah, chains. That's what we call a variable. It's called a variable.
Yeah, I know. I know that. And I knew it before you said it, too. Cause we learned about it in class.
Yeah, right. Right.
Now, this would have been extremely bad if we didn't have the ultimate method we like to call George. Because George was one of those dudes who loved studying. Like, he'd wake up and go to school, then come home and study till he dropped, bro. Like, if you kidnapped George's whole family and told him you'd only give them back if he answered this equation, this motherfucker would just be happy he got more homework, bro. And because of this, we had a little deal going with George. If he let us cheat off his math test, we would teach him how to be a normal dude. We were teaching this kid how to dap someone up, how to use slang, and all I'ma say is, this motherfucker should have just stuck to math, bro. Yo, Chains, sauce me a bite, big dog.
I got you.
Shit, Chains, you just busted in my throat, gang.
Hey, yo.
George, what you just said right there sounded gay as hell. Type shit. So as I was saying, I'm looking at this math test with more letters than numbers, and it would have been raps for me if it wasn't for the George method. So I'm looking at Billy, Billy's looking at Bob, and Bob's looking at George's test, and we're absolutely flying through this polynomials test. And about halfway through, I look up to get the next answer, and I get jump scared by Mr. Mathinson mean mugging my shit. And you can see it in his eyes. He knew exactly what was going down, and he took me, Billy, and Bob's tests and took us to the hallway.
What do you guys think you're doing?
Polygon.
I'm pretty sure it's like Paul.
Why did I see you three throwing up your fingers during our test?
Well, you see, Mr. Mathinson, we're gang affiliated. No, bro, what? What the fuck?
All right, you three, cut the shit. I caught you cheating. All three of you are getting zeros on this test, and I don't want to see it happen again, or I'm contacting your parents.
All right, it won't happen again. You're right. We're not in a gang, by the way.
Yeah, I know, buddy.
Well, shit. Yo, what happened to you jits? Are you chilling?
Bro, Mr. Mathinson caught us lacking real bad.
Yeah, he gave us all zeros on the test.
Holy shit, it sounds like Mr. Mathinson just absolutely railed you guys. No cap.
Oh, right now. And all three of us proceeded to absolutely shit the bed on all of our next tests. And it was at the point where our grades were on life support and our math final was coming up. So if we didn't get our shit together for this final, our parents were about to put us on life support with that leather belt. So we put our cheating ways in the past and locked in, bro. We were focused in class, and after, we went to Bob's crib and kept studying there. And then it clicked. We all finally understood polynomials. And so the next day, we walked into class confidently, knowing we were equipped with hours of studying. We lock in, sit down, and then the teacher gives us our test. And as soon as we lay our eyes on that very first question of the test, we were fucked. Now, don't get me wrong, we could do polynomials all day long, but we forgot this was a final. Meaning, we forgot to study numeracy, exponent laws, rational numbers, linear relations, inequalities, geometry, probability, and statistics, and in other words, we didn't know shit. And before I can even make eye contact with the boys to tell them I'm fucked, these motherfuckers are already hopping back on the George method. And listen, bro, as you can tell, I'm no mathematician, and I did not study probability
ability or statistics, but from what I'm seeing at this very moment, I have two options. I can do the test legitimately and have a 99% chance of failing grade 9 math and getting my shit whooped while simultaneously having my entire family realize they raised a dumbass who won't go anywhere in life and is destined to draw Stickman for all of eternity, or I could cheat. So we're out here hitting the George method, and I'm being extra careful, because if we get caught lacking twice, it's complete and utter raps for us, bro. So we're grinding out the method, then the teacher looks up, boom, we're locked in on our own tests. He puts his head down, back to the method. And there was a few times in there I thought we were cooked, but we just kept it pushing. But still, we were low-key running out of time, and I had a whole page to complete. And God bless this random-ass dude's soul, because he raises his hand to ask a question, and as soon as the teacher turns his back on us, it's crunch time, bro. It's like double XP right now. Bob was out here throwing up these numbers so goddamn fast, I thought he turned Crip for a second. And then the bell went off, and we were all done. Done, bro. We hand in our test and then it was time to wait. A few classes go by and then the teacher hands out our math finals alongside our report cards. And nervous as hell, we all check our report cards and we all passed, bro. So we all go home happy as hell to show our parents our report cards and the fact that we passed. Chains, you got a 54 in math?
Yup, mom, I sure did. You raised one hell of a smarty pants.
Oh, fuck. But at the end of the day, even if we all got our shit whooped, maybe the real treasure is the friends we made along the way.
Yo, homies, I'm bricked up right now.
Oh, no. There's a lot of things in life that I don't really understand, but if there's one thing I can truly comprehend, it's being grounded. Because in my time, I've served a total of 547 days and 16 hours in the slammer. And through a year and a half of extensive first-hand research, I've come to the professional conclusion that getting grounded is straight ass, bro. You're locked in your room with no phone, no computer, like what do you want me to do? Think about my actions? Hell nah. Being grounded had a young me doing the stupidest shit ever, bro. Like, I was popping handstands, hitting my head against the wall, playing with the door stopper thingy. Shit, I got so bored, I even read a few pages of a book like an absolute nerd. And now that I think about it, Percy Jackson and the Battle of the Labyrinth was actually a spectacular read. Now listen, there's only one thing worse than being grounded, and that's being falsely imprisoned for life. Well, now that I think about it, there's a lot of things worse than being grounded, but one of which is being grounded during summer, bro. There's something about being able to hear all the happy children, the ice cream trucks, your homies having fun, the hoes throwing rocks at your window, asking you to come outside. Well, you just cry yourself to sleep, because there never was any hoes throwing rocks at your window asking you to come outside. It's just you, your Percy Jackson books, some used toilet paper, and the existential thoughts in your head, questioning if it's even worth it. And listen, I'm sure everyone can pick up on the fact that I'm a really intelligent dude. Smart all around, really, but trust me when I say, I wasn't always this smart, bro. In fact, in kindergarten, my dumbass fully believed with my whole heart that being grounded meant your parents would just dig a decent-sized hole in your backyard, toss you in, and bury you alive for the time being. And so I'm sure you could imagine my surprise when my OG friend of 5 days said, yeah, I got grounded for 2 whole weeks. Holy fucking shitballs, dude, are you okay? No, man, it's really hard. I didn't get to touch any my toys or anything. Damn, how long ago was that, man? Oh, I'm still grounded. What? No, you're not. Yeah, dude, I'm grounded right now. No, the fuck you're not. And I wouldn't truly find out what being grounded was until 7 years later. I was in grade 7. It was a beautiful sunny summer day at approximately 11 a.m. and me and the boys were freely roaming our city. Little did I know, we wouldn't be free for long. And as the boys and I roamed the city looking for a move, one of Bob's girls calls him up and is like, okay, so my friend Becky is in Hawaii for a few days with her family, and she said I could bring you over. And just like that, Bob could have wrapped it up and claimed some cheeks. But the boy Bob was never one to leave the homies behind. So not only did he convince his girl to let us come, but he went above and beyond. He got his girl to bring some of her friends over too. And now we're hyped because we had now located the move and,
quite a marvelous move, if I do say so myself. Now, keep in mind, all of us knew Becky and had been to Becky's house many times before, but Becky was all the way in Hawaii, so she had no clue about the marvelous move about to take place at her own crib. But regardless, me and the homies walk into Becky's crib, and they low-key got a little get-together in the works. I see Bob's girl, I see Bob's girl's friends, and then I see a mutual friend of mine named Dennis. And he brought his girl. Now, a little backstory about Dennis. Dennis was 2 years older than me, making him in high school. And to be fair, from grade 7 to high school is a colossal difference. Dennis was taller, had a more developed frame, and Dennis even had some facial hair in progress. The amount of facial hair that put my peach fuzz to shame. And to put it quite simply, Dennis was a menace. But regardless, that's my homie's homie, so I walk up and dap him up. And then everyone heads over to Becky's room. Now keep in mind, Becky had simply invited Bob and Bob's girl to come over, and somehow we ended up being 8 people deep in that joint. And so that means technically, the other 6 of us were straight trespassing. So we were all chilling in Becky's room, chopping it up for a good hour and a half, until eventually, people start exploring her house. Now in Becky's room, it was just me, Bob, Bob's girl, and Bob's girl's friend named Lily. And so we're all just talking until I hear someone yell from the room down the hall.
Yo, Chains, get in here right now!
And I don't know exactly what I was expecting to see as I walked into that bathroom, but it was absolutely not seeing Dennis drop a condom filled with water on Billy's head. And of course I laughed, because that's comedy gold right there, but it also made me realize, maybe we shouldn't be here dropping condoms on each other's heads. But who was I to tell Dennis what to do? He had facial hair, so he was practically a grown man to my standards. So I just turned around, went back to the room, and continued chilling with Bob. And as we talked, the music progressively got louder, and Dennis progressively became more of a menace. And it had got to the point where the speakers were booming, and Dennis was lobbing condom water balloons off Becky's balcony. And then one time, Dennis either almost hit or just missed Becky's neighbor with one of these condom water balloons. So this grown man looks down at a condom that seems to have fell from the heavens, then he looks up and sees Dennis scrambling inside to Becky's crib with the speakers blasting music, and then he continued on his way. And we were all just having a fantastic time in Becky's room until we hear the downstairs door swing open, and we all absolutely shit our pants and run onto the balcony.
Hey! I just texted the family who lives here, and they said no one is supposed to be in the house. Everyone needs to leave right now, or I'm calling the cops.
And that's exactly what we did. No messing around, we were out that hoe. And we all went to Bob's girl's house for an emergency meeting, because we were all scared as fuck. And now Bob's girl and Becky are texting, and Becky's like, my parents are pissed, they want to talk to everyone's parents, and they know how many people were there. So we all devise a foolproof plan. Okay, we give Becky our phone numbers, tell it's our parents' phone numbers, and we act super disappointed in our children. We all agreed on this plan, and the emergency meeting was dismissed. And over the next few days, we all got texts from a very unhappy Becky's father, who made sure to specify the amount of condoms that were found in the bathtub. We all respond with some bullshit along the lines of,
hello, Mr. Beckerson. I'm very sorry to hear about the inconsiderate acts of Chains and how he's invaded your home. Rest assured, Chains will feel the wrath of this thick leather belt as it repeatedly beats against his cheeks to discipline him for his heinous actions. Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
But come to find out, Lily's dumbass responded with some shit like, Dear Mr. Beckerson, thank you for letting me know, but Lily did nothing wrong, as she didn't know she wasn't allowed there. Plus, she didn't even make a mess or anything, on God. Put some respect on my daughter's name, period. And just like that, our foolproof plan got fucked. And Becky's father texted each of us saying,
You are coming to the house at 3:15 p.m. today, or I'm calling the cops.
And shit, looking back, Becky's father was most definitely bluffing. Like, say I didn't go, what was he gonna tell the cops?
911, what's your emergency?
Hey, there was 8 kids who invaded my home 3 days ago.
Okay, sir, did they break in?
No, Well, no. My daughter gave them the key.
Sir, why the fuck are you calling 911?
There was condoms in the bathtub!
But like I said, I wasn't very smart, and I didn't have the brain capacity to think that far ahead. So everyone shows up to the house, and Becky's father sits us down and makes each of us individually call our parents and explain what we had done. And I went first.
Hey, Mom, I went to Becky's house the other day,
but she was in Hawaii and I wasn't really invited. And
there was condoms in the bathtub.
Needless to say, we all got our shit whooped and I received my very first grounding with a sentence of 1 month in the slammer.
For most of my life, I've known how to swim. But by that, I mean, if my life depended on it, I could swim from one place to another. I don't even know if swim is the right word. Like, if you saw me casually enjoying a little swim at the pool, you'd be like, does he need help? Like, is he drowning? I mean, like, I did take swimming lessons, but I quit at level alligator, bro. I never even made it to level 1. With that being said, this incident dates way back to when I was in grade 4. We were going on a field trip, and of course, it's to the pool. But I'm not stressing. I know I safely passed level penguin, so I should be chilling. My whole class and I walk into the entrance of the pool, but before anyone was allowed in the pool, they asked everyone if they knew how to swim. And I thought, we're in grade 4. There is no way somebody still doesn't know how to swim. And just as I presumed, nobody needed a life jacket. So me and the gang are swimming around, you know, jumping off the diving boards. Fun stuff for a grade 4 field trip. But after about an hour, my friends and I are just chilling in the deep end. And that's when I see a kid in my class named Ben on some floaty things coming in our direction. A little backstory about Ben. For as long as I can remember, this dude has been on my nuts. So when I saw this dude coming in my direction, I assumed he just wanted to say hi or something. But as he made his way towards me, I could tell he was struggling. So I swim over to help him out. Oh, hey, Ben. How are you? This kid jumps off the floaty thing onto me. And this man has the meanest grip on me. Pause. Well, this shit had to be some sort of attempted murder, bro, because he had me in a chokehold and his legs were wrapped around my arms. But they did not prepare me for this shit in level alligator. So instantly I start sinking and I hit the bottom of the pool. Keep in mind, Ben is chilling on top of me with his head out of the water this whole time. So I jump off the bottom of the pool just enough to get my head out of the water for a few seconds. Ben, get off me. And when I look up, I see this dude, Ben, with the straightest face in the world. Like, this motherfucker has no clue I'm out here fighting for my life. And he says, in the most monotone voice, I can't swim. Aw, hell nah. I'm trying to fight him off me, but keep in mind, my arms are tied up. So I gather all the strength out of my skinny ass grade 4 legs, and I jump just enough to get my head out of the water again. Lifeguard, help! Oh, you guys, stop playing around in the pool. That's it. I'm fucked. I'm dead. And out of sheer anger, I decide, fuck it. If I'm dying, you're dying with me. I duck as far as I can under the water so both me and Ben can't breathe. But I'm running out of air. I start to get lightheaded. Man, that's crazy. This is really how I die, huh? And just as I had lost hope, my main man, Bob, comes in on some Superman shit, pulls Ben off me, and swims me over to the shallow end. I cough up some water, but eventually I catch my breath. So that's the story of how I almost died. And it's also the story of why I owe my life to Bob.
Skipping class in high school is a slippery slope. Like, one day you can skip and it'll slide no problem, like,
oh, hey, buddy, welcome back. We missed you.
Yeah. You skip 2 days, you're chilling.
Hey, look who's back.
Yeah. But when you go to class after skipping 3 days, all of a sudden shit is serious.
Chains, why haven't you been here, huh?
You know, it was some family stuff.
Oh, yeah, family stuff. What family stuff?
I don't really want to talk about...
What family stuff?
It was my grandma's funeral.
Damn. But that is no reason to miss a test.
And Lord forbid, if you miss a whole week,
The school board turns into the FBI. Like, during the whole pandemic, one of my homies refused to go to any online classes. And one day, he was enjoying his extended vacation while smoking up outside his crib. Next thing he knows, he's making direct eye contact with his science teacher while smoking grass. And because they started going FBI mode when you skip your classes, the homies discovered a top secret method so we could skip classes with zero consequences. So, when you would skip a class, the teachers would instantly hop on their laptops and whip up an email along the lines of, "Mrs. Farrell, are you aware that your son, Chains, has missed his science class today? If this is continued, Chains' grade will continue to drop, which might ultimately lead to him failing my class. Mr. Perkinson." Now, Mr. Perkinson would write these emails with the hopes of my mom reading them and then beating my ass. When it really went like, my mom would read it and she would politely ask me how my science class was today, I would cap my ass off and then she would proceed to beat my ass. And one day after I got my shit whooped, I was talking to the homie Bob. "Yo, we're going to Chipotle next class. You trying to come?" "Man, I don't know. I'm getting real tired of these ass whoopings, bro." "Ass whoopings? You're getting ass whoopings?" "Yeah, bro. Mr. Perk never fails to type up an email that results in the leather belt." "Oh, what? Nobody ever told you about the secret method?" "Secret method? You mean like wearing extra pants so the belt doesn't hit so hard?" "No, I'm talking about the secret method so Mr. Perkinson's can't email your mom."
Why didn't you tell me sooner, bro?"
"So essentially, the method starts at the very beginning of the school year. At my school, they would give you this form with your parents' email, phone number, all the contact information, you know what I'm saying? You would need this form filled out and signed by a parent or guardian and then handed into the office. However, this man, Bob, conceptualized one of the greatest plans of our generation. And it went like this. So you would receive the empty form from the school, take it home to your parent / guardian, get that shit filled out, and get that signature. Then secretly, when nobody is watching, you hop on your computer, you make a fake email, like bobsmom123@gmail.com. Then you would change your mom's contact information into that fake ass email, and then deliver it to the office like nothing happened. So when Mr. Perkinson's smartass tries to get me whooped with one of those emails, I get that shit in my inbox. I read it through and respond with some shit like, "Dear Mr. Perkinson's, thank you very much for bringing this to my attention. I was unaware of my son's absence in pursuing his educational prowess. I will discipline him with a punishment that may or may not involve me whooping the absolute shit out of his tushy. Thank you, Mr. Perkinson's." And I already know this dude, Mr. Perkinson's, was reading that email like, "Oh, yup, he is definitely getting his ass beat tonight." Meanwhile, I was typing that shit up in bed while munching on some nachos. So you best believe I was abusing this newly found secret strategy. I mean, I was missing every other class. And it was just all sunshine and rainbows. But you know what they say. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. I mean, I really don't recommend using this strategy. And I'm not saying that to be some mature role model. I say that because there was one flaw in the strategy Bob forgot to tell me. And that was, as soon as my mom saw my report card with all those absences,
God damn,
she made up for every single beating I missed.
So, there are 7 stages of being drunk, all of which I've experienced, so you don't have to.
Drinking? Aren't you underage?
No, I'm 21. Now let's start with stage 1, the process. Stage 1 is one of the most important stages of being drunk. If you've ever heard the saying, trust the process, this fully applies when it comes to drinking. If you don't approach this stage with precision, calculation, and patience, you might accidentally skip straight to stage 7. And trust me, you don't want to skip straight to stage 7. The process is pretty much where you've started drinking, but you don't really feel anything yet. Because when you drink alcohol, it takes time for it to be absorbed into the bloodstream. And some people just don't have the patience to wait and end up overestimating their limit.
I feel fine. Let me take another shot.
Stage 2 is tipsy. Tipsy is where you first start to feel it. It's when the first few shots start to hit and you start to feel a little bit more outgoing and maybe more talkative. At this point, you'll still have your judgment, but I feel like you become a little bit more of a glasses half full kind of person. Walking in a straight line is still easy. Boom, light work. Once the next few shots start to roll in, you'll hit stage 3. Intoxicated. Once you're intoxicated, some of the dizziness starts to set in. You also start to think less about the words you say. And I'm not gonna lie, at this point, I feel like your confidence peaks. Like when you're at a party and you look in the mirror and see Michael B. Jordan, you know you're at the level of intoxication, bro. And to be honest, for parties, I like to chill at this stage because you've got your confidence, but you still haven't lost your riz. And for reference, at this point, you can still walk in a straight line, but it takes a little bit more focus and effort. Which brings me to stage 4. Hammered. This is where you start slurring your words. And bro, at this point, walking in a straight line becomes an impossible task. Yo, dude, can you walk this line really quick?
Yes. No.
When you're hammered, you start thinking a lot less. You start saying things before you can even think them. And it's important to say, when you're hammered, your judgment cannot be trusted. All ideas become good ideas. Yo, dude, what if we set an orphanage on fire? Bro, that's genius. That's what I'm saying.
What are you guys doing?
Nothing. I don't think that was a good idea, bro. Facts. Stage 5 is stupefied. At this stage, you'll have the brain power of a toaster. And honestly, walking in a straight line isn't even a question anymore. Yo, dude, can you walk this... Once you're stupefied, you're just too far gone. You feel like your head is just spinning over and over. Now, at this stage, I would recommend leaving whatever party or setting you're at because you can't function properly. You'll probably end up regretting some of the shit you say or do the next morning. Now, stage 6. Wasted. When you get wasted, it's just regret. Your body is literally fighting for survival. Everything is miserable, and you always promise yourself you'll never get to this stage again. But one way or another, it always comes back. Whenever you're at a party, there's always one person who's wasted, and they're hunched over at the toilet just vomiting, bro. And it just ruins the night completely. So this might be obvious, but I do not recommend getting wasted. Now, to get to stage 7, you have to do one of 3 things. First off, you could have not trusted the process at stage 1 and heavily overestimated your limit. Or, you could have been hammered and your judgment was tainted, so you had the idea to take more shots. Remember, all ideas become good ideas. And lastly, you could be going through a serious divorce. And in this case, I'm sorry. I hope she comes back. But stage 7 is blacked out. When you are blacked out, you've lost your consciousness. You're pretty much just slumped out. But your dreams when you're blackout drunk are always the most random and vivid shit, bro. And once you wake up... Yo, dude, can you walk this line really quick? I think it's safe to say that I would strongly not recommend going past stage 4. But I'm not gonna lie, I have a few times, and I got lots of crazy stories from them too. So let me know in the comments if you want to hear any of these stories. But yeah, I think I should end the video by saying... Please drink responsibly.
Awkward conversations. We all know them and we all hate them. Hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you? I'm great. How are you? You already asked me that. Damn, you right. You right. So, how's your day going? My pet frog just died. Damn, that's tough. I find myself taking the most inconvenient routes to avoid an awkward conversation. Like, I can't really explain the feeling of an awkward conversation, but it's just mildly uncomfortable. Like, I would compare the discomfort levels of an awkward conversation to wearing wet socks. Like, it's not the end of the world, but let's keep it real, no one wants to wear wet socks. And honestly, I would take a slightly inconvenient path if it meant I would not have to wear wet socks. Also, I feel like there's some other situations that are in the awkward conversation family that I also hate. For example, the handshake fist bump dilemma.
Yeah, it was nice seeing you.
Yeah.
Oh, fist bump.
Oh, no, sorry.
God damn it.
After you experience one of these bad boys, you'll be thinking about it cringing for the next hour. And if you're anything like me, you might even lose some sleep over it.
Man, why the fuck they're not going for the handshake, bruh? Obviously it was a handshake.
And what about the good old you said goodbye to the person you're talking to, but you guys both walk the same way situation? I mean, this situation is the perfect way to ruin a smooth conversation.
Yeah, man, it was really nice to see you.
Yeah, for sure. See you later, bro.
All right, peace out.
all right, bye.
Yeah, bye.
Shit, we're still walking the same way? I'll just turn this way so it's not awkward. Man, what the fuck?
And even if I say goodbye to someone and we're still in the same general location, I will avoid them at all costs. Like once me and my brother were chilling at Walmart and we saw one of our neighbors. So we talked for a little bit, you know, said our farewells and went separate ways. But when it came time for me and my brother to check out, we saw the same neighbors checking out. And we were up in the Walmart looking like we were playing Assassin's Creed in real life.
It's clear.
And of course, I can't forget about awkward silence.
Yeah, that's funny.
Me personally, I have some procedures in place to avoid awkward silence no matter what. For example, my philosophy is to just say things.
Yeah, that's funny.
So do you play Minecraft?
What kind of question is that?
In the end, they may think I'm a dumbass, but at least there's no awkward silence, you know what I'm saying? Once the clock strikes 3 a.m, I feel like you've given up on trying to sleep. At this point, you're going to commit to whatever you decide to do until the sun comes up. Whether you're studying for tomorrow's math test, chilling on Discord with the boys, choking the chicken, or simply sulking in those 3 a.m. thoughts, you'll pretty much find yourself doing anything but sleeping. And I don't know if it's just me, but those 3 a.m. thoughts hit different. And honestly, it's just the perfect time to go for a walk, find a nice little view, maybe light up a joint, and just think. The youngest picture of you is the oldest picture of you. Does Lightning McQueen cop car insurance or life insurance? Wait. Did the brain name itself? Hold up. What if soy milk is just regular milk introducing itself in Spanish? I have no clue if this is just me, but every once in a while when I'm laying in my bed at 3 a.m, I suddenly get the motivation to become the best person on the planet. Like, I set an alarm for 5 a.m, I tell myself I'm gonna go work out, then go for a run, then meditate, then drink kale smoothies, then become a millionaire, then donate it all to a family in need. But as soon as my alarm goes off, I'm just like, shit, I'm too tired for all that. Then I just end up sleeping until 1 p.m. And my brain is constantly playing games with me, bro. Like, tell me why I'll be using all my strength to stay awake during the day thinking, ugh, man, I can't wait to go to sleep tonight. But when it comes time to sleep, I just can't. I'll be left lying there at 5 a.m. awake as hell, watching these random motherfuckers build a two-story house with a hot tub in the jungle. And you know what? Being awake at 3 a.m. is kinda like being high a little bit. Cause you start to think about things you don't usually think about. And because you get hit with the fucking munchies, bro. I'll be whipping up a 3-course meal with appetizers and a complimentary dessert to watch a YouTube video. And listen, I can't explain why, but there is no better water than water at 3 a.m. I mean, it's pretty much a part of my sleep schedule now to wake up at 3, chug some water, take a piss, then go back to bed. But sometimes while I'm trying to go back to sleep, my brain just starts showing me a compilation of my top 15 cringiest moments. I mean, I'm having flashbacks to the time in grade 5 when I said a joke and nobody laughed.
Guys, why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Why? why?
Because it was dead.
Oh.
Damn.
Or I'll be up all night thinking about that one debate I had 3 years ago, brainstorming about the best things I could have said in each scenario. It's like if I do some cringe shit during the day, I have no choice but to lose some sleep over it at night. It's like my punishment for saying some stupid shit. Like I know one guy who accidentally called his teacher mommy in front of the entire class. And that dude hasn't slept since.
At Stickman High, we understand the importance of learning. That's exactly why our new curriculum has been perfected to accelerate the learning of each and every student. Like, hey, look at this kid.
Wait, what?
Look how big his head is. It must be full to the brim with all that knowledge we provide.
Hey, it's not that big.
No, it's pretty fucking big. Anyways, let's take a look at how the new curriculum pushes our students in the weight room. Oh, wow, impressive. See, I didn't even know legs could bend like that.
They can't.
All right, stop recording. Stop the recording. Stop the recording. Stop the recording. All right, Stickman High, welcome to the new curriculum, and let's study those textbooks.
All right, class, are we ready to learn about this new curriculum or what? we could just do a Kahoot?
Yes, that's what I've been waiting for. That's what it's all about.
Yes, sir! Man, I fucking love Kahoots, and I don't study for shit. Bro, I feel like Kahoots are the exact equivalent of the good old here comes the airplane trick. Like,
yo, you want a Brussels sprout?
Aw, hell nah, bro, those are disgusting.
Oh, shit. Alright, but here comes the airplane.
Hey, Chains, you need to study for this history test.
Hell nah, bro. That shit's boring as hell.
Okay, yeah, but...
The Declaration of Independence was signed on the... Because personally, I didn't give a single fuck about what we're learning in school. But I swear they infused the Kahoot music with Adderall or like crack or some shit. Because a game of Kahoot used to have me all the way locked in. And I would be grinding my way up those leaderboards. Like, I'd make it to third place and then second place and then first, and then the teacher would throw in some bullshit like, now what position was Abraham Lincoln conceived in? So I go for the safe answer, and all of a sudden I dropped 14 places, and I'm getting passed by goddamn Dildo and Duncan McCockiner. And the teacher's over here yapping about,
yeah, guys, you should know this one. It's chapter 13 in your textbooks.
Like, bro, why the actual fuck should we know this one? But in these Kahoots, people were coming up with the most outrageous names of all time, bro. I remember any time a teacher would pull up a Kahoot, the first names would start off normal as hell. Jessica, Eric, maybe a little Bartholomew. But as soon as one dude drops a name that's ever so slightly comical, every single name after that ends up being more and more out of pocket than the last. It's like a competition to see who's gonna push that shit the furthest. Like Richard Long quickly turns into Ben Dover, which nicely parlays into Hugh Janus, which passes it over to I Swallow Cum, who alley-oops it for Wilma Dickfit, which eventually somehow always ends up with the teacher just catching mad strays. Like somewhere along the line, that shit goes from Dixie Normus to Miss Jackson's Built Like Mike Wazowski. Alright, who said I'm built like Mike? I remember I had this teacher who used to love Kahoots. Shit, she loved her Kahoots so much, we'll call her Miss Kahooters. Nope, we're not actually doing that. We're not calling her that. I think we'll just go with Miss Kahoot. You know what I'm saying? I think Miss Kahoot works just fine. And every Friday or so, we would walk into Miss Kahoot's class, and she would have a Kahoot pulled up smiling from ear to ear. Which I'm not gonna lie, was really sad to see. Not because she was smiling, but because I knew in 20 minutes tops, that smile would turn into straight anger, bro. Hey class, happy Friday. We're gonna do another Kahoot because I know it's a class favorite. Just please, everyone be appropriate.
DJ Bustanut, are you serious? In my 22 years of teaching, I have never...
And I felt bad for Miss Kahoot, you know, like, I really did. But it was low-key her fault for running it back so many times. Because DJ Bustanut just couldn't stop catching these dubs, bro. He was a dog. But nah, I really do feel Miss Kahoot. Because sometimes even Kahoot pisses me off, bro. Because picture this, I'm here grinding out these answers, giving it my all, even cheating a little off that one smart motherfucker with the big ass laptop, but I still get a few answers wrong,
wrong, you know? Nobody's perfect. But imagine my pain as I read my screen and find out I'm 76 points behind fucking Sebastian, bro. And I look up at Sebastian and this motherfucker doesn't even know what he's playing. He's just happy to be here and shit. But there's only one feeling worse than being 76 points behind Sebastian, and that feeling always came from the easiest questions. It would be like, oh, what? This is a little too easy. How do you say hi in English? And you're trying to speedrun this shit, so you click the first thing that kind of makes a little bit of sense and the answers come up, and you're the only motherfucker to get that shit wrong.
No.
Who's dumbass a zero IQ? And everyone's looking around for who got it wrong, like,
yo, who's dumbass got that shit wrong, bruh?
Facts, bruh, type shit. Dumbass type shit. The fucking dumbass.
Chains? Were you the dumbass who got that shit wrong, bro?
Me? The dumbass? Nah, shut up. Shut the fuck up. Nah. It was probably Sebastian, bro. Just look at that one.
And I feel like there's only 7 types of people in class when you're playing a Kahoot. And the first is Dover. Bend over. We all know him and we all love him. He's got a smart name but not a smart brain. He might get the first answer right, but then he falls off the face of the leaderboards, never to be seen again. But on the leaderboards, we got Genius George. Cause George actually studied the material like a well-prepared and studious nerd, bruh. Cause George was the type of dude to be like,
calculate for the common denominator.
Oh man, this one is too easy. Like, bro, if you don't shut the fuck up, I'm about to commonly dominate that ass.
No, it's called a denominator.
Oh, I know. And I swear every game of Kahoot had that one person who took their sweet time to answer every single question. Like, it could be 1 + 1, and this motherfucker would be 30 seconds deep into the question, like, okay, 1 + 1. Is it a trick question?
No, just answer the question.
Oh, okay, 1 + 1 =
the answer's two, dumbass.
Okay, can I use a lifeline and phone a friend?
Alright, chat, how do we kick Jasmine out of the lobby?
And then we got Flying Fuck Frederick, and Flying Fuck Frederick doesn't give a flying fuck. Dude will give his best shot at the first question, and then he's aborting mission and playing some goddamn Clash Royale. And then there's always that one dude yelling out the wrong answers.
Alright, what's the biggest in the world?
Ooh, I know this one. Chains, it's blue, bro. Trust. Oh, shit, bet. Wait, no, I meant red. Sorry, my tongue slipped, bro, my bad.
Bro. Oh, and it looks like Chains is off the leaderboard. Everyone, let's point our fingers and laugh at him.
And we got the radiating Redditor. And I say radiating because that boy is radiating the most profuse body odor known to man. And I don't know, maybe it's all a part of their strategy to win because that shit throws you off your game, bro. They'll be invading your nostrils with a concoction of Doritos, Skibbity Toilet, and Badoosie. And if you've ever played against a Redditor in a game of Kahoot, you may be wondering, yo, how is this dude getting every answer right while sitting back drinking Mountain Dew watching Best Sigma Moment compilations? And the answer is he's cheating, bro. And not the normal kind of cheating either. This dude's using a Kahoot bot to get every answer right. And now you may be thinking, nah, why would someone cheat on a Kahoot, bro? It's not that serious. And that's facts, but the thing is, the prize was a gummy bear, and this dude can't leave no calories behind. And then we got the casual Kahooters. Fuck, I gotta stop saying that shit, bro. I was trying to say we got the people who just play the game. They got normal names, they get some right, they get some wrong, but at the end of the day, they probably still get their shit yelled at, all because DJ Bustanut couldn't stop catching these dubs. Alright.
Yo, I just got robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. Who's with me, you know? Like, anyone. Yo, anyone. Yo. Yo, is this not relatable?
Ain't no fucking way.
Nah, bro.
What the fuck does that even happen?
Not again, bro.
Now, I'm not gonna lie. Japan is one of the safest countries in the entire world. And apparently, there's only 3,065 homeless motherfuckers in the entire country. So, in order to get robbed by a homeless dude in Japan, you either need to be unlucky as fuck or just a complete
dumbass. But way back when this story took place, I was a certified dickhead, bruh. At the time, I had the critical thinking skills of a newly born chimpanzee, mixed with the spatial awareness of a fucking Joe Biden, on top of the decision-making skills of Joe Biden's son. So with that being said, this story takes place way, 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 way back a few weeks ago when me, Bob, and Billy hopped on a flight to Tokyo. And as soon as we arrived in the city, we started absorbing all that food, bro. Sushi, ramen, fucking cow testicles, you name it, we ate it. And after an entire week of decimating every last crumb of food in Tokyo, we thought, well, that was fun. I guess it's time to go home. Yeah, I guess so. And as we're ready to pack it up, we overhear a few people talking.
Oh, hey, konnichiwa. We come from the United States of America. How do we go to Osaka?
Yeah, man, Osaka has some of the best food in Japan. Just take this train right here and you're there.
Wow, you're English. Very good.
I'm from Washington, dipshit.
Oh, I see. Washington, dipshit. Is that Chinese or...
Holy shit, did you hear that?
Yeah, no, that guy's fucking clueless.
No, I'm talking about Osaka. Apparently the food's even better over there.
Oh, shit. Yeah, but, don't you think we had enough food already?
I mean, shit. We are in Japan.
Fuck it, bro. Let's go.
So we hopped on the train and got off in Osaka. And like the certified fat asses me and the boys are, we were looking around for some food. And the moment we seen all-you-can-eat Wagyu beef for just 30 bones, we all knew what had to happen. We walked in that bitch and wasted no time. We were running through that meat like Tiana Trump in her prime. Because sometimes we were burning the meat, sometimes we were taking it raw. But at the end of the day, the meat filled us up and made us happy. So we thanked the owner, left the shop, and headed back to our hotel. And man, I was full as hell for like an hour. And then I was like, yo, who's trying to get some more food?
The fuck? Bro, we just ate a whole goddamn cow.
Yeah, we did.
Like, we probably just canceled out the life work of 5 vegans in one sitting.
Tight shit.
And it's already like 8 p.m., bro. It's dark as hell.
Well, I'ma go out anyways. You know why?
Why?
Cause we in Japan.
Man, get your fat ass out this goddamn hotel.
So I got my fat ass out the goddamn hotel and started walking around. And all I took with me was my phone, the key to the hotel, about $100 worth of yen, and a smile on my face, knowing I had never in my life been robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. But little did I know, all that was about to change on this wild ass Friday night. Now, if there's one thing I learned about Japan, it's that everyone there is very kind, extremely polite, and a raging alcoholic. I'm talking they clock out of work at 6 p.m. and they clock into the bar at 6:02, and they don't leave until... they don't leave until it's time to go back to work, bruh. Cause the Japanese people work hard, but their liver works harder. But regardless, I'm casually walking through the city when I hear someone yell from across the street.
Yo.
So naturally I'm like, yo. And they're like,
come here.
And I'm like, shit, okay. So I walk across the street and see 3 individuals posted outside this little bar shop thing like,
yo, I'm Yuto. This is Emi. This is twin sister Shigo.
Hey, it's my first day working here. Come inside.
Shit, I don't know. I'm just trying to get some food somewhere tonight in Osaka. I don't know if it's like...
you want Osaka fucking night food?
Yeah, I guess I want Osaka fucking night food.
Read's a sign.
Osaka fucking night food. Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough. Shit,
You know what? Come get shots. I pay.
Shit, we in Japan. So they take me inside and everyone there is just happy as fuck. They got Rihanna playing on the speakers, dudes bringing out shots, and the chef was turning up so hard, dude started twerking, and damn, that boy was cooking.
Bro, what?
Shit, he was cooking with the food, like, man, fuck! But the vibes were just so good and inviting that I felt like I just got welcomed into this Japanese family. And so we all cheers and take the shots. And now I'm drinking, and I'm drinking with only one goal in mind, and that's to keep up with my newly found Japanese family. And so to prepare my stomach, I get me some Osaka fucking night food, and it was scrumptious. But as I'm slurping up this kebab, I see Emmy come back with 3 more shots, and she's like, you want one? Shit, we in Japan. So we take the shots, and I'm talking to Emmy, and one way or another, we start talking about our alcohol tolerance.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it takes a lot for me to get drunk.
Not as much as me.
Whoa, is that a bet?
Yeah, it is. bitch.
So we're drinking everything in sight. Vodka, soju, sake, tequila. It's a competition. Now, I made the bet in the first place because I'm twice her size. But one thing I forgot to account for was the fact her entire lineage had been training generations for this very moment. So she's taking these shots to the face like... well, shit, like Tiana Trump in her prime, and I'm going shot for shot with her. And after taking about 8 shots, I was feeling it, bruh.
Yo, let's go play darts.
I never really played darts in my life, but shit, we in Japan. So we pull up to a darts bar, just me, Emmy, and Yuto. And I had never played darts a day in my life, but you ever just try some shit and you're just inherently good at it? Yeah, right? Yeah, that shit was not me, bro. I was dog shit. I was out there looking like I was drunk as hell. I was drunk as hell. Cause in order to play, each person had to buy a soju. So now I'm about 12 shots deep, throwing darts, trying to hit a circle the size of a pea, while this little Japanese girl's pushing me and shit. Cause to her, this was a game. To me, this was survival. Cause every time you lose, you gotta take a shot. And if I keep taking shots like this, these shots about to start taking me, bruh. And sure as hell, I lost the first game. I took my shot and Emmy's like, how drunk are you right now? And I can't let her know I'm losing this bet, so I'm in that bitch like, drunk? Nah. Shit, where I'm from, we brush our teeth with a bottle of Jack.
Ah, okay, then loser takes 2 shots.
Yeah, let's do it. So one thing leads to another, and now I'm 16 shots deep, and Emmy's like,
I'm gonna go to the washroom, I'll be right back.
And then Yuto's like,
yo, Chains, we must talk.
Oh shit, yeah, what's up? Now Yuto had a strong accent and very limited English, so it really went some like,
Emmy, bomber.
Huh?
Emmy, have bomber.
Yo, Yuto, I don't speak Japanese, dog.
No, Emmy, use bomber. Swipe left, swipe right, bomber.
Oh shit, Emmy uses bumble. Okay.
Yes, and she texts the bomber guy. Come here.
Oh, hell nah, bruh. I'ma have to abort mission.
Me too.
You too?
Hi, Emmy to you, daddy. Fuck Emmy.
Oh shit, facts, let's do it. So we sneak away to the elevator and we're spamming the up button trying to leave, and this shit is just not coming, bruh. So we both peek around the corner to see if she's coming, and she notices us.
Oh shit, guys, we're leaving?
Yeah, we are leaving. Fuck. So we all get in the elevator and Yuto whispers in my ear like,
when the elevator open, we run.
And I'm drunk as shit, but I was the fastest kid in my elementary school. So as soon as the doors open, we hauled ass, bro. And I just kept running till Yuto was like,
stop, we go to bar.
And I'm just having a great time existing at this point. So I walk into this bar all drunk like,
where the hoes at? Oh shit.
Where the bros at? Yuto took me to a gay bar, bruh. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with a gay bar, but it was the fact that after drinking 16 shots, I just sprinted full speed away from a cute Japanese girl to run straight into a room filled with a bunch of sweaty gay dudes. And these motherfuckers were looking at me like I'm some fresh meat or some shit. And it really just had me questioning my entire life. I was in that bitch confused, frustrated, drunk as hell, ready to crash out. I was gonna leave that bar looking like... I was like
a fruit explosion.
No, Sebastian, what the wrong video? What the fuck?
Oh, hey, is that Diddy?
So you're trying to see a fruit explosion, huh?
No. So I left the gay bar, called up Emmy, we link back up, and the first thing she says to me is,
fuck you.
Fuck me? What? Nah, fuck you.
Why'd you run from me?
Bruh, you were inviting bumble dudes and shit.
What? No, what are you even talking about?
I mean, Yuto said, like, you know what?
Don't even worry about it.
Okay. Well, let's go to the club.
And I'm like, shit, we in Japan. So we're at the club doing club shit, and after an hour or so, she's like,
let's take some shots.
And I'm like, shit, we in Japan. I am blackout drunk, bruh. I don't even know how many shots deep I am at this point, but all I know is I'm so drunk, I gained the ability to fucking teleport. So I'm in the club, and as soon as I blink, I'm in a bar. Then I'm in a club, back to a bar, to a new club, McDonald's, bar, karaoke, club, bar, love hotel.
Love hotel? Man, what the fuck?
You said you wanted to sleep.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah, nah, I probably said some shit like that. I don't fucking know.
So we walk into our room, and the very first thing I notice, the hub on the TV, vibration devices on the bed, protection everywhere. Shorty just lured me to the Japanese freak chamber, bruh. I blink, and we teleport to the bed. But we were just talking like,
yo, Yuto said you were inviting dudes from Bumble.
Oh my god, okay, Yuto's a liar. Listen, I gotta tell you something, but you can't tell anyone.
Yeah, nah, I won't tell a soul, you know? I will not post this on YouTube, clip it up, post it on TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Reels, or anything like that, you know? Like, yeah, that'd be weird.
okay, so Yuto's homeless.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like, he just goes to the gay bar and then goes back to a dude's house and sleeps there.
Damn. Oh, man, I didn't even know.
And then he steals their money.
Wait, he what?
Yeah, he just steals their money.
Wait, but it's just the gay dudes, right?
Yeah, it's mostly just the gay dudes.
I check my pockets, the money's gone.
Fuck.
You said it's only the gay dudes.
Yeah, nah, he just steals from the gay dudes.
Fuck, I wanna go home, bruh.
So I leave the love hotel, and at this point, the sun is coming up, and I'm still drunk as hell, walking like a zombie. I pull out my phone to go use Google Maps,
and that shit dies, bro.
So now it's just me and my last few brain cells trying to make it to my hotel before I pass out. And I'm stepping over Japanese motherfuckers, blackout drunk, sleeping on the sidewalks, thinking I can't end up like them. But honestly, I have no clue where I am, no clue where the hotel is, and no clue what time it is. And after what felt like hours of aimlessly walking around, I blinked and I fell asleep, bruh. And when I woke up, I was in my bed. I genuinely don't know how, who, what, when, or why, but shit, I wasn't complaining. But by the time I got out of bed, it was 6 p.m. and I didn't remember shit. I had to go through my camera roll and piece everything together like The Hangover. But at least that Friday night, I learned a very valuable lesson. Don't try to outdrink the Japanese motherfuckers, bruh. You'll lose every time.
There's levels to friendships. I mean, you could have known your homie since you were 2 years old. You could have lived together. I mean, you could have survived the whole zombie apocalypse together. But shit, the truth is, you haven't truly experienced brotherhood until you and your homie have participated in a two-man mission. Like, just look at Kobe and Shaq, man. That type of chemistry can only be achieved by running a two-man. Shit, I bet these motherfuckers were running two-mans every night. And you already know Kobe was laying down that Mamba mentality while Shaq had his girl O'Neilin'. But for those of you who may be wondering, Chains, what the hell is a two-man mission? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's quite simple, really. It's when you're gonna link with a girl, but you bring your homie and she brings her homie. And what this does is it sets an environment when you and your homie can dribble, pass, alley-oop, and ideally dunk that shit. Now don't get me wrong, it's simple, but not easy. I remember my first two-man mission like it was yesterday. It took place when I was in grade 7. And it started when my friend Joe hit me up like,
yo bro, I'm going to this girl Sophie's house and her friend Ava's there. You trying to pull up?
And I was like, am I trying to pull up? Hell yeah, I'm trying to pull up. So we show up to her house and I'm new to this whole thing. So I'm sitting there like,
so what? What now?
We could watch a scary movie.
Yeah, let's do it.
Calm down.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
Man, shut the fuck.
So we're watching a scary movie, and to be honest with you, it was simply the best scary movie I'd ever seen in my entire life. So I was really getting invested in this plot. And Ava's like, oh my god, I'm scared. And that shit went way over my head.
What? Why?
It's not even at the scary part yet. And then only 30 minutes into the movie, Joe and Sophie are like,
yo, we'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want me to pause the movie?
Nah, it's all good, bro.
And you see, what Joe just did right there was a calculated move. In basketball terms, he just said an ISO. So now it was two 1v1s. And the situation was absolutely perfect, but the problem was, I actually liked the fucking movie. And that violates rule number 3 in section 7 of how to pull off a successful two-man. Never give a fuck about the movie. Cause the truth is, the movie length is like the shot clock. If you end up actually watching the entire movie, you failed the mission. But I had no clue, and to be honest, I didn't even know what a two-man was at the time. So I got some popcorn and I was just watching the movie. But when the climax of the movie was about to come around, I did something that violated every term and agreement of the two-man mission. I went over to Joe and Sophie like,
Hey guys, quick, you're gonna miss the best part.
Oh, fuck. And I missed the climax of the movie, but shit, I seen a climax. And needless to say, Joe never invited me to a two-man mission since. But you know I had to redeem myself, even if it was 3 years later when I was in grade 10.
10. It was a Saturday night, and me and Bob were looking for something to do. And I'm gonna keep it a stack with you, bro. I had no motion. Like, my Snapchat was drier than a Popeye's biscuit, bro. But lucky for me, Bob had a roster. And I'm talking an all-star lineup of girls who just want Bob on their body. And I don't blame them. I mean, shit, I got Bob on my body right now. And you can too at chainsclub.shop. That's right, we got hoodies, shirts, beanies, socks, keychains, stickers, you name it. And starting at the price of $4.20, Bob can be all yours. Or if you want me, I wouldn't mind being on your keychain or something. Treat me like white tea. So as I was saying, me and Bob were bored. So Bob hits up this girl named Avery like, what are you doing right now? And she's like, just chilling. Who you with? My friend Alice. Let's link. I'm with my homie. Okay, is he cute? Cute as hell. Okay, come over. And I'm excited as fuck, so we get Bob's sister to drive us to Avery's crib, and as we pull up to her house, I remember a crucial detail that I'd been forgetting this whole time. I was scared of the hoes, bruh. And as we walked up to her door, I was starting to get flashbacks of me and Joe's two men, where Joe tossed up an alley-oop for both of us, and I blocked his shot, metaphorically and literally. And as I'm psyching myself up, Bob calls Avery to tell her we're here, and she's like, so, my parents are asleep, so you're gonna have to come in through my window. Shit. So we walk around the side of the house to Avery's room, and lucky for us, there's this big-ass window, and I'm like, yo, can you open it so we can get in? And she's like, it is open. Bro, only this tiny ass rectangle in the top left was open at a 60 degree angle. But that was our only way in, so I helped Bob up and through the window. But now I gotta get up there, and I'm bigger than Bob, so I put my head through and I'm trying to slowly creep into the room, and then I lean just a little too far and I'm headed face first onto Alice's hardwood floor. And listen, Bob has come in clutch many times. He saved me from drowning, coyotes, getting in trouble, but out of all these things, I'm most grateful for Bob catching me as I fell through this fucking window. Because drowning and dying would have been pretty bad, like boo-hoo, rip chains, you know what I'm saying? But imagine falling through a window and eating shit face first in front of the hoes. Like, I would have preferred the drowning, bro. But after that close call, I was a little flabbergasted, you know what I'm saying? But Alice has the audacity to ask me this loaded-ass question, like, oh, hey, what's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
The name's for real.
Chains for real.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Farrell. I'm Alice.
And so we all just start talking and shit, but I keep noticing Alice was getting a bunch of text messages. And I remember thinking it was probably her mom or something, so I shrugged that shit off, and I'm like, yo, we should watch a movie.
Yeah, oh, we should. God. Yeah.
And I wasn't about to make the same mistake I made last time, so I found the most dog shit horror movie on the face of Netflix and threw that shit on. And man, that shit was ass. In fact, it was so ass that we just started cuddling and shit, like, what else was there to do? But now that we were close, I could feel the vibrations of Alice's phone getting a call, so she's like, one second, I'll be right back. And I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I could low-key hear what she was saying through the door.
I'm just at Avery's house. We're watching a movie. Oh my god, okay, that's fine. Okay.
But when she comes back, she puts a pillow between us. Like the same type of shit two dudes do to make sure they don't fuck in their sleep. And I'm trying to piece everything together, and as I'm coming to the conclusion that this girl has a boyfriend, I hear footsteps coming towards the door. And when the door opens, I'm fucking bamboozled to see a 60-year-old man who looks furious. And I'm just hoping this isn't Alice's boyfriend, because if it is, we got bigger problems on our hands. But as I seen the way this man looked at Bob, I realized he's Avery's dad. And Bob wasted no time jumping out that fucking window. But for me, let's just say that shit wasn't very elegant, because I got stuck for what felt like 5 minutes making eye contact with this grown-ass man.
Well, what are you trying to seduce my dad or something? Like, get the fuck out.
And I'm not gonna lie, we ran, bro. And once we made it home, me and Bob were relieved. But when I go to check my phone, I got a little notification on Snapchat. And I'm expecting it to be Alice or maybe even Team Snapchat or something, I don't know. But I sure as hell wasn't expecting it to be a motherfucker named Ryan Donaldson. And Ryan must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, because he's like, what the fuck did you do, dude? So I hit him back with a, who dis? And he's like, Ryan Donaldson. Yeah, no, I can see your username, bruh, but I have no clue who you are. I'm Alice's boyfriend, bitch. And Ryan got his shit hit with an instant block, bro. And so the moral of the story is, if you're gonna...
there's a lot of things in life that I don't really understand. But if there's one thing I can truly comprehend, it's being grounded. Because in my time, I've served a total of 547 days and 16 hours in the slammer. And through a year and a half of extensive first-hand research, I've come to the professional conclusion that getting grounded is straight ass, bro. You're locked in your room with no phone, no computer. Like, what do you want me to do? Think about my actions? Hell nah. Being grounded had a young me doing the stupidest shit ever, bro. Like, I was popping handstands, hitting my head against the wall, playing with the door stopper thingy. Shit, I got so bored, I even read a few pages of a book like an absolute nerd. And now that I think about it, Percy Jackson and the Battle of the Labyrinth was actually a spectacular read. Now listen, there's only one thing worse than being grounded, and that's being falsely imprisoned for life. Well, now that I think about it, there's a lot of things worse than being grounded, but one of which is being grounded during summer, bro. There's something about being able to hear all the happy children, the ice cream trucks, your homies having fun, the hoes throwing rocks at your window, asking you to come outside. Well, you just cry yourself to sleep, because there never was any hoes throwing rocks at your window asking you to come outside. It's just you, your Percy Jackson books, some used toilet paper, and the existential thoughts in your head, questioning if it's even worth it. And listen, I'm sure everyone can pick up on the fact that I'm a really intelligent dude. Smart all around, really, but trust me when I say, I wasn't always this smart, bro. In fact, in kindergarten, my dumbass fully believed with my whole heart that being grounded meant your parents would just dig a decent-sized hole in your backyard, toss you in, and bury you alive for the time being. And so I'm sure you could imagine my surprise when my OG friend of 5 days said, yeah, I got grounded for 2 whole weeks. Holy fucking shitballs, dude, are you okay? No, man, it's really hard. I didn't get to touch any of my toys or anything. Damn, how long ago was that, man? Oh, I'm still grounded. What? No, you're not. Yeah, dude, I'm grounded right now. No, the fuck you're not. And I wouldn't truly find out what being grounded was until 7 years later. I was in grade 7. It was a beautiful sunny summer day at approximately 11 a.m. And me and the boys were freely roaming our city. Little did I know, we wouldn't be free for long. And as the boys and I roamed the city looking for a move, one of Bob's girls calls him up and is like, okay, so my friend Becky is in Hawaii for a few days with her family, and she said I could bring you over. And just like that, Bob could have wrapped it up and claimed some cheeks. But the boy Bob was never one to leave the homies behind. So not only did he convince his girl to let us come, but he went above and beyond. He got his girl to bring some of her friends over too. And now we're hyped because we had now located the move, and quite a marvelous move if I do say so myself. Now keep in mind, all of us knew Becky and had been to Becky's house many times before, but Becky was all the way in Hawaii, so she had no clue about the marvelous move about to take place at her own crib. But regardless, me and the homies walk into Becky's crib and they low-key got a little get-together in the works. I see Bob's girl, I see Bob's girl's friends, and then I see a mutual friend of mine named Dennis. And he brought his girl. Now, a little backstory about Dennis. Dennis was 2 years older than me, making him in high school. And to be fair, from grade 7 to high school is a colossal difference. Dennis was taller, had a more developed frame, and Dennis even had some facial hair in progress. The amount of facial hair that put my peach fuzz to shame. And to put it quite simply, Dennis was a menace. But regardless, that's my homie's homie, so I walk up and dap him up. And then everyone heads over to Becky's room. Now keep in mind, Becky had simply invited Bob and Bob's girl to come over, and somehow we ended up being 8 people deep in that joint. And so that means technically, the other 6 of us were straight trespassing. So we were all chilling in Becky's room, chopping it up for a good hour and a half, until eventually, people start exploring her house. Now in Becky's room, it was just me, Bob, Bob's girl, and Bob's girl's friend named Lily. And so we're all just talking until I hear someone yell from the room down the hall.
Yo, Chains, get in here right now!
And I don't know exactly what I was expecting to see as I walked into that bathroom, but it was absolutely not seeing Dennis drop a condom filled with water on Billy's head. And of course I laughed, because that's comedy gold right there, but it also made me realize, maybe we shouldn't be here dropping condoms on each other's heads. But
Who was I to tell Dennis what to do? He had facial hair, so he was practically a grown man to my standards. So I just turned around, went back to the room, and continued chilling with Bob. And as we talked, the music progressively got louder, and Dennis progressively became more of a menace. And it had got to the point where the speakers were booming, and Dennis was lobbing condom water balloons off Becky's balcony. And then one time, Dennis either almost hit or just missed Becky's neighbor with one of these condom water balloons. So this grown man looks down at a condom that seems to have fell from the heavens. Then he looks up and sees Dennis scrambling inside the Becky's crib with the speakers blasting music. And then he continued on his way. And we were all just having a fantastic time in Becky's room until we hear the downstairs door swing open. And we all absolutely shit our pants and run onto the balcony.
Hey! I just texted the family who lives here, and they said no one is supposed to be in the house. Everyone needs to leave right now, or I'm calling the cops.
And that's exactly what we did. No messing around, we were out that hoe. And we all went to Bob's girl's house for an emergency meeting, because we were all scared as fuck. And now Bob's girl and Becky are texting, and Becky's like, my parents are pissed, they want to talk to everyone's parents, and they know how many people were there. So we all devise a foolproof plan. Okay, we give Becky our phone numbers, tell it's our parents' phone numbers, and we act super disappointed in our children. We all agreed on this plan, and the emergency meeting was dismissed. And over the next few days, we all got texts from a very unhappy Becky's father, who made sure to specify the amount of condoms that were found in the bathtub. We all respond with some bullshit along the lines of,
hello, Mr. Beckerson. I'm very sorry to hear about the inconsiderate acts of Chains and how he's invaded your home. Rest assured, Chains will feel the wrath of this thick leather belt as it repeatedly beats against his cheeks to discipline him for his heinous actions. Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
But come to find out, Lily's dumbass responded with some shit like, Dear Mr. Beckerson, thank you for letting me know, but Lily did nothing wrong, as she didn't know she wasn't allowed there. Plus, she didn't even make a mess or anything, on God. Put some respect on my daughter's name, period. And just like that, our foolproof plan got fucked. And Becky's father texted each of us saying,
You are coming to the house at 3:15 p.m. today, or I'm calling the cops.
And shit, looking back, Becky's father was most definitely bluffing. Like, say I didn't go, what was he gonna tell the cops?
911, what's your emergency?
Hey, there was 8 kids who invaded my home 3 days ago.
Okay, sir, did they break in?
No, No. My daughter gave them the key.
Sir, why the fuck are you calling 911?
There was condoms in the bathtub!
But like I said, I wasn't very smart, and I didn't have the brain capacity to think that far ahead. So everyone shows up to the house, and Becky's father sits us down and makes each of us individually call our parents and explain what we had done. And I went first. Hey, Mom, I went to Becky's house the other day, but she was in Hawaii, and I wasn't really invited. And
there was condoms in the bathtub.
Needless to say, we all got our shit whooped, and I received my very first grounding with a sentence of 1 month in the slammer.
Yo, Chains, I'll pay you $5 if you pull that fire alarm right there.
Oh, yo, run, 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 run.
Chains?